Good Thursday to you. It is the 18th of June. That's right. Already June 18th on this Thursday afternoon. May I be of the first to say good afternoon to you as you're on your way to making each and every day count. Each day is a gift. We don't know how much QTR we have. We know that. Quality time remaining. So make the most of what you do have. And you do have this if you're hearing me right now. Meanwhile, I want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. And don't just take it from me. Take it from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, from Ann Thomas on down. All of us work very hard, specifically on this program, for relentless positive radio. But we all work very hard at WJR to provide you the information, the entertainment, and the companionship. So that's why I say happy birthday to you. You always have somebody to say happy birthday to you, me. And you celebrate it with some pretty good people. Like, how about Paul McCartney? How old do you think Paul McCartney is today, Mr. Parson?
I'm going to guess 81.
84.
Okay,
that's
I was close.
Guess. It's a very good guess. My little Vivian Burns, our first grandniece. Is that, am I saying that right? Yeah, because they asked if, how would I like to be a great uncle? And I said, well, I thought I was a pretty good uncle already.
But I was going to say great, yeah, great niece, but
great niece,
I think it's
Vivian
a matter of...
Burns is 11 today. Is that possible?
Wow.
I think she's 11 already. Time does fly. And then Kim's brother Scott and his wife Sue, Scott and Sue Derry, who are going to come and visit us soon, are celebrating their anniversary today. So happy anniversary to Scott and Sue Derry, who live up there in upstate New York, around in there. Mike Parsons is our executive producer. Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches. I don't see Danielle, but she's there.
Yeah. Go ahead, Danielle.
They took the camera away, or...
They did some messing around. The camera.
Maybe they sold the camera.
No, it's just sitting up there, and we don't know how to turn it on because it's not plugged in. And to plug it in, you have to go underneath the board, and you have to go behind.
Well,
it's not worth it.
That's too bad. That's unfortunate. But, you know, they didn't know because they don't listen. Anyway, and Rich Luzinski, who keeps track of the WJR traffic and weather first. Now, the Vice President, J.D. Vance, has been having a press conference forever, it seems. I don't know if we should be carrying this or not. It's like in the middle or near the end. I don't know if picking it up now.
I'm all press conference data after yesterday. We'll keep an eye on if anything comes out after.
All right.
He's probably relieved, though, that he doesn't have to fly to this signing ceremony on Friday because they just did it remotely.
Yeah, and so he can't be held responsible. The president made a joke that if it works out, he would take responsibility and credit. And if it didn't work out, he would blame J.D.
Right.
That was a joke. But people brought it up in the press conference like it was a serious thing. And he then made a joke and no one laughed. They said, I understand that some of you are complaining that I don't have the experience to go into dangerous territory with people who are, angry and going to go up against me and go give us a hard time. He says, I was just on The View yesterday. There was not a peep.
That is a funny line.
It was a very funny line.
And I guess it went okay on The View.
He said that whatever the woman is
Joy
I used
Behar.
To work with, Joy Behar, which she's just a miserable person. But anyway, I used to work with her. So, but he said, Joy Behar loves me now. Now, he may have been overdoing it.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but from what I saw, and I just saw bits and pieces of it, it looked like it went well.
He said, and I forgot who he was talking to, but he said, I was expecting them to be totally vicious. They were just a little bit vicious.
I didn't hear that.
But he said Joy Behar said in the commercial break, you know, you're not that bad for a Republican. So I think we're seeing, you know, if Trump and Mamdani can be friends, then Joy Behar and J.D. Vance can be friends.
Yeah, why not? We should all be friends, and we should all be working together to make America better and to be as good as it can be. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people are doing that. And in New York right now, of course, besides having a spectacular parade, which they're doing, you know, their victory parade, in New York for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. There's also a bunch of talk about electing different people, and the people who are getting all of the supports, apparently, supposedly, are these Democrat socialists. Is that what they call the communists now? Democrat socialists?
Yeah, or maybe just socialists.
Okay, so they're getting all the attention. They're like, that's who's going to get elected in New York and in Washington and in a variety of places. So maybe that story the other day that I lamented that many doubt U.S. will last another 250 years. Heck, it may not last another 5 years.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, here's one of the. Go ahead.
I was going to say it is New York. I mean, they are.
Well, Washington D.C. also apparently is lining up to elect a Democrat socialist or whatever they try to pretty it up,
right?
Without saying a socialist or a communist,
right?
Because socialism and communism has been tried a number of times, and it doesn't work. Find a place where it worked, and say, "Oh well, we can take a look at that and figure that one out." But it hasn't worked, so you can't. Anyway, you know what I'm loving about America hosting the World Cup?
What's that?
The number of people from around the world who are talking about how much they love America and how surprised they are at how great America is. Because they said, they actually put in their own words, you know, if you pay attention to the media, you think all these bad things about America, but America's fabulous. We love the food that you mentioned, the ranch dressing.
Right.
We love Walmarts. There's so much abundance, and it's so beautiful. The beaches, one Australian guy saying, the beaches are every bit as good as the beaches we have in Australia, and they're known for their beaches in Australia. So it's a nice shot in the arm.
Yeah.
I just wish that some of the politicians representing various people in the country, some of the liberals, could love America as much as the visitors are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of perks to being an American. And do you see what's happening in Boston, Paul?
I didn't. What's happening?
The Scottish football fans, they're drinking all the beer. They're partying too hard.
I saw that. And then Americans are going, come on, Boston, come on. You can't run out of beer. You're Boston, for God's sakes. But yeah, they're having such a good time. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Keep your fingers crossed. Let's get through this fabulous this parade without any knuckleheads causing trouble.
It's making me nervous.
I got to say what I got to say, and that'll be just great. It'll be another feather in our cap, and all these people who are in America and loving America. I always have said, I used to say it all the time, that the people who love America the most are the immigrants who come here and have lived somewhere else and say, you guys have no idea how great you have it. And I always would say, yeah, because so many of these kids growing up were so spoiled and handed everything, they had no idea what they have. And that's still true now that those punk kids are punk adults, and many of them, unfortunately, have become politicians. Be that as it may, Relentless Positive Radio is what we're planning on right here in Focus on WJR, wishing you a great Thursday, June 18th, heading into Father's Day weekend. Stay with us. All righty. Peter Meyer is here, former congressman and Army veteran. We like to hear his opinion as he weighs in on things of great importance, and this is pretty doggone important. By the way, I'm not seeing screaming headlines that gas is below $4. Just thought I'd mention that. Interesting, isn't it? Well, no, it's very predictable. But the Trump administration has remotely signed a memorandum of understanding with Iran aimed at ending the war. That has been confirmed in every which way that it could be confirmed. We don't know for sure what it means, but Peter Meyer probably has a pretty good idea. Peter, always a pleasure, sir.
Always a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me, sir.
What do you know from the inside looking out?
I think it's important to step back and put the memorandum of understanding that was signed virtually, and then there was an in-person signing in France. Versailles doesn't have the best history of successful treaties being signed there. But, you know, let's step apart from that optics. You know, this is not the end deal. That was always expected to be something down the road, comprehensive negotiations. You know, what we have here is very limited. You know, it outlines both a narrow, you know, tactical priority, which is reopening the Strait of Hormuz, as well as paving the path and setting a shared vision of what the broader strategic potential could be. And so if you think of where we are right now in this conflict and the one piece of leverage that the Iranians have, you know, has been their willingness to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, which has roiled global energy markets. It's, you know, caused gas to go $1.50 higher than it would normally be here in the U.S. But what it also did, and not only because, you know, the Iranians were dependent on things going out, but it also led to then the blockades of Iran by the U.S. Navy. So what we have here, very limited, is essentially Hormuz for Hormuz. You know, we let things go back in, they let things go out. That's where we are. Then we have room to talk and have broader conversations. You know, I think a lot has been made about, you know, oh, there's $10 billion here, $300 billion there. The $300 billion is the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow that's going to require some very painful concessions politically on behalf of the Iranians, if they're even willing to make it, if that's even possible. And the other funds in the short term, you know, are not U.S. funds. It's not things that are being released on our side. I think the expectation is that that would be coming from the United Arab Emirates, which, for the record, hadn't seized those funds until after Iran started bombing Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So these are Iranian funds that were frozen in banks, not prior to the war, but after they started attacking the Gulf. So
good
just
point.
Again, putting that all in context, the Iranians have probably suffered anywhere from $500 billion to $1 trillion in economic damage as a result of this conflict. No serious analyst is looking at the unfreezing of funds in the Emirates as really moving the needle at all. It's more of a show of good faith, which you're going to have to do with this trust building to get to where we need to go.
And it's good that you point out, Peter Meyer, former congressman, Army veteran, this is a memorandum of understanding. It's a first step. I know most people were kind of believing that Friday there was going to be some kind of a big announcement and this was going to be the final agreement and that's that, when these things always take time. Now, I will say we were led to believe, because the way it was discussed, no one can blame us for thinking it was all going to come to a conclusion on Friday, which is not going to be the case, we know. But the thing that we do need to remind people about, and the press will not do this, is that the $300 billion is not from us. It's releasing their own money that we locked up, unless I'm mistaken, Peter.
Well, and again, nothing that the U.S. has locked up, at my understanding, none of that is on the table in this first iteration and this first go around. It's more, you know, there's other parties here from the Gulf, some of which was, you know, Iranians were using Emirati banks. And so they just, okay, we're freezing your accounts because you're bombing Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
Right.
Understandable. You know, this is essentially saying, you know, parts of the region are kind of stepping back from that brink, you know, but it's coming under, it's dovetailed within the broader initiative that the U.S. is leading. And to be very clear, I think if there was any hope or possibility that continuing the status quo, you know, for another week, 5 weeks, 5 months would lead to a significant change, you know, we wouldn't see what we're seeing. But the reality is we tried one effort. Now we're making a shifting position. We're taking a different tact. Can you trust the Iranians? No. Do they have any reason to trust Donald Trump? No. You know, you can place a lot of stock in the fact that if anything else, President Donald J. Trump does not like to look like a loser. This is something that is very important to him. He is a winner. I'm not going to affect his accent, but that is something that comes out of his mouth all the time. But where we get to with this 60-day pause, which likely will be extended and repeated, is we have an opportunity to, again, crater global oil prices, refill onshore and offshore oil supplies, refill our own strategic petroleum reserve, create some relief in the global energy markets. You know, the Iranians are going to see some relief too, I think the idea that they will automatically benefit more than the rest of the world from the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, I just do not think is analytically supported. But this, there's nothing that we could do today that, should things fail, we will not be able to do 2 months, 6 months, or a year from now, or in my own assumption and estimation, you know, probably the week after the midterm elections in November.
Oh, boy. You know, we're with Peter Meyer. The fact of the matter is that the big push before this MOU or this, you know, the Memorandum of Understanding, the big push was always about nuclear prevention. We're going to prevent them from ever having a nuclear weapon, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly, the most important thing that we're hearing now that's coming out is all about opening the Strait of Hormuz and the fact that all of these countries, including ours, I guess, need the oil. And that's like the most important thing that's coming out. It's almost as if the nuclear thing is on the back burner by saying, well, it's covered by a mountain. They can never get to it. And we've got cameras on them to make sure they don't try.
I will say they're making commitments. They said that they would neither procure nor develop. That was also in the MOU. I think we treat that as the baseline standard. It is necessary, but it's not sufficient. Sufficient is going to come in when we say, okay, enough support for these violent proxy groups like Hezbollah, you know, the ballistic missiles. All right, we're going to rein that in. Like, let's make sure that the Iran that we saw in early to mid-February is never able to reconstitute in its same form and attack not only, you know, the United States' forces, but also other peace-loving countries throughout the region.
From your lips to God's ears, let's hope that that really can happen. And no one can blame anybody for standing by and watching and hoping and even praying, but not believing completely, because after all, it is Iran and we've dealt with them for years. So, and they've unfortunately lied most of the time that there's ever been any kind of an agreement. So let's hope this time it isn't a lie, or that whatever we do come up with is sustainable and that we can keep it going. Peter Meyer, former Congressman, Army veteran, God bless you. Thanks for your thoughts.
Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for having me on.
1229 WJR. And we welcome in Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, a guide to building bridges across the political divide that Nolan wrote with Stephen Henderson, with Lynn Gallagher. There's new polling. Mr. Mitchell is out there again. Steve Mitchell, Research and Communications. And in the polling, apparently, the record shows that Jocelyn Benson is leading the Republicans for the field for governor. Mike Rogers leads Stevens and McMorrow, but trails El Sayed. I'm gonna let Nolan make sense of all of this. Mitchell Research and Communications, that the great polling company that is out there and has been with us for years. Hello, Nolan.
I mean, you probably should ask Steve about the details. I mean,
yeah, I would have, you know, had I jumped on this earlier, I would have booked Steve to come on and tell us first. But we appreciate that you go through these things and make sense of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, much of it makes sense to me. I mean, I think if you, Benson's pretty much solidified the Democratic vote. I mean, she didn't have much of a point of an opponent, although I'm impressed with the sheriff from Genesee County who's running against her. He's a solid guy. But still, she's getting all the attention on that side. And on the Republican side, you still got four people banging it out. So I would expect her to have a lead until Republicans identify a single candidate. On the Senate side, I mean, if you look at this, Abdul is the only one who has a passionate base, a group of voters who are very, very excited about his candidacy and about voting for him. Again, we'll see how that shapes out as we get closer to the priority, but you've got a lot of people in the Democratic Party who are just wild about Abdul. And as we've been interviewing congressional candidates over the last couple of weeks, there's a decided shift in that party towards the democratic socialism that Abdul represents. I have almost every race, there's a Democratic Socialist of America on the Democratic side of the ballot.
Oh, boy. It came here sooner than I thought it might, because we know that obviously is what's happening in New York. And now I hear it's happening in Washington, D.C., and now it's happening here, too.
Sweeping the Democratic Party. And it'd be interesting to look at how voters react to that. I mean, the prevailing wisdom right now is that, you know, it's Trump who's driving this election and opposition to or support for Donald Trump. But I think if this socialist message keeps being spewed by Democratic candidates, that may take priority in this election. That scares a lot of people, as it should.
How do we get that point across? You say that, and it's true. It scares a lot of people, as it should. How about the people who are not scared and who are embracing this? What do we say to them?
Well, I mean, socialism is always a seductive promise until you look at what it leads to. And generally, it leads to much costlier government, higher taxes, and a repressive regime. I mean, that's the history of socialism.
But Nolan, it's not you and me and others just saying that. The proof is there. The proof is in the pudding. I say to you, Democrat socialists who aren't listening to me, but I say, show us where it's worked anywhere in the world and any time in history, and they cannot come up with a way. So what makes them think this time it's going to be different?
Well, again, everybody is looking for, you know, the easiest way. And they think, gosh, we elect a guy like Abdul, and he's going to give us Medicare for all, and he's going to give us, you know, free child care, and he's going to give us free this and free that. And, you know, those nasty billionaires will pay for it. And you hear a lot of that kind of rhetoric. Well, we'll just tax the billionaires. We'll save Social Security by taxing the billionaires. You know, we'll pay for health insurance by taxing the billionaires. Well, sooner or later, the billionaires are going to run out of money, and then what?
Yeah. What was the old expression? If you rob Peter to pay Paul, soon there won't be any Peters around. I can't remember exactly how it went, but
that
sums it up pretty well.
It does.
And I don't understand how people can't figure that out.
But they buy it, and for every spending proposal, you know, the question, how will you pay for it? It's always tax the rich. Tax the rich. Well, you could tax the rich at 100% rate, which I think some folks think that's what fair share means, and still not come up with enough money to wipe out this deficit.
I just hate to have to go through learning that again, or watching people learn that along the way, because it will be a very painful time in America. And for some, they say it's already a painful time in America, and I'm sorry about that. What I love, I'll leave you on an up note, Nolan, the thing I'm loving the most about hosting the World Cup is all of these people from all of these different countries singing the praises of America, unlike most politicians on the left and liberals. Yeah. They don't even see the same America, that these people come in with fresh eyes living elsewhere and say, wow, America's fabulous.
Still the greatest place on earth. And I think we should remember that as we celebrate its 250th birthday. You can focus on all the things America's gotten wrong in its history, all the warts, but it's done a hell of a lot of good things too, great things, and still is. And, you know, they got people in the world who recognize that.
Absolutely. Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of the Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide, must-have reading, by Nolan and Stephen Henderson with Lynn Gollender. Thank you, Nolan.
Thank you,
Happy,
Paul.
By the way, it's already Thursday, so I'll say it to you. Happy Father's Day coming up.
And to you, too, Paul.
Thank you, Nolan. It is at 1243 at WJR. Sean Mann, co-owner of DCFC, that's the Detroit City Football Club, is here. This is, Sean, you must be having a blast with the World Cup being here and everything going on.
There is a lot going on these days. It's pretty exciting times for the sport, for sure, without a doubt.
I don't know if you remember the name Roger Faulkner, but he has written a book called You Can't Get There From Here, My Soccer Journey from Derby to Detroit. He used to be on with J.P. McCarthy all the time, pushing soccer back in, got the 94 games here, and continues to keep pushing soccer. So I know he's in his glory. You must be in your glory. Now, you've had a little bit of a setback, not that unusual, but you had to reset when you're going to be able to open your new stadium. Tell us the very latest on that.
Yeah, I mean, we just opened our preview center just a couple blocks away from the stadium site. And with that, you know, we've just reoriented towards a 2028 opening, beginning of the season there. You know, no any big item, just a lot of little things in any construction project. And wanted to make sure we were able to open it and deliver a stadium right way, properly from day one. And so, you know, things keep moving forward every day. You know, it's an exciting project to bring to fruition here.
Yeah, and I understand you already have people buying tickets in advance.
Yeah, we launched our deposits back end of last year, and we've already have over 6,000 deposits placed for new
season
stadium.
Ticket deposits in advance like that for a place that holds 15,000 seats. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, the enthusiasm support, you know, is tremendous. You know, we've enjoyed that from day one with this club for the last 15 years. I mean, it's one of the most unique stories in American pro sports, to be honest, right? And every time we've taken another leap and taken on a new challenge, you know, the community's rallied around us. And, yeah, this is our biggest chapter yet, without a doubt.
The World Soccer Celebration watch parties that you have are pretty famous in their own right. Tell us about them.
Well, you know, with the World Cup going on, you know, we partnered with DDP, Downtown Detroit Partnership, in Campus Martius last Friday for a first U.S. game and had a packed house, capacity crowd, over 5,000 people down there. And with the next U.S. game tomorrow, 3 o'clock, we're doing another watch party. And fortunately to say, it's already sold out, so it'll be a capacity crowd again. And then even tonight we're doing a watch party down on Bagley in Southwest Detroit in Mexican Town for the Mexico match. And we even had about 500 people turn out for that last week. So, you know, it's an exciting time. You know, the world's the largest sporting event here in America, and it's a way to bring that kind of enthusiasm here to Detroit.
Sean Mann, co-owner of DCFC, Detroit City Football Club. How did you come up with Friendly the Polar Bear as the team's mascot?
You know, everything about this club in many ways is DIY, right? Like, we started out with our girlfriends now wives mowing the field at Cass Tech with us and selling tickets. And, you know, when it came to having a mascot, a friend of ours, when we first started up, he found a polar bear costume on in a trash heap on the side of the road, and we adopted it. And for 15 years now, you know, it's been a part of our match days. And many, many interns have been stuck sweating in that thing over the years. And it's a kind of a part of our identity.
As if you didn't have enough lore being found at the side of the road in a trash heap. Then it was stolen recently. Out of a DCFC staffer's car, but luckily somebody found it and a good Samaritan returned it. So that's the good end of the story there. But it adds to the lore, doesn't it?
It was pretty amazing. Unfortunately, yes, the staffer had the car broken into and the hockey bag that had Friendly in it was taken. And you know, thankfully, Paws and Rory and Hooper and the whole fraternity of mascots in town put out the word, And somebody called us on Sunday afternoon and told us that they saw a polar bear costume in a vacant lot on the north end. And we were able to save Friendly.
Friendly's going to be there in person or in bear.
Yep.
At a doubleheader at Keyworth Stadium in Hamtramck this Saturday.
Yeah, the men are playing at 5 o'clock. That's actually, that game's nationally broadcast on ESPN2. And then after that at 8 o'clock, the women's team plays. So, you know, our annual kind of men's women doubleheader, big festival of soccer, a day after World Cup watch party. Just a lot of positive, fun activities going on. And, couldn't ask for more.
Well, I'm thrilled for you. I know that this has been going on for a very long time. I'm thrilled too that that many people care so much about a little polar bear that loves soccer, and that it lives on as well. And the good news is that with the usual kinds of delays, you're going to get that new stadium open not in 2027, but now the spring of 2028. Sometimes good things are worth waiting for, right, Sean?
Yeah, it's exciting seeing it come to fruition, and the preview center opening up. You know, it's an opportunity for people to come take a look and see, you know, models of the stadium and a replica of one of the suites. And, you know, I think we're delivering a truly unique venue for Detroit, and that's representative of the community, and it's exciting to bring it to life.
It's all good. Sean Mann, co-owner of DCFC, Detroit City Football Club. We continue with Paul W. at JR. All right, hour number two here, Focus with Paul W. Smith on this Thursday, June 18th, Relentless Positive Radio, and very pleased to say hello with a quick update here. Our old friend, Luann Ewald, who is, among other things, the COO of C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, the Van Voigtlander Women's Hospital, and I think the overall health system, but we don't need to get into that right now. What we need to get into is the big 1050 Mott Takeover Radiothon, that's taking place today just until 3 o'clock on WJR's sister station, the Big 1050 WTKA AM in Ann Arbor. My goodness, Luann, you get around and you're busy.
Oh, Paul, today's a busy day, so we're happy about it.
Well, it's a good day because you're raising funds for the Charles Woodson Clinical Research Fund at the University of Michigan Health C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. Talk to us about Charles's fund.
Yeah, Charles has been involved with C.S. Mott Children's Hospital since he was a captain of the football team here at University of Michigan, and he has given back and has created this fund, which has helped us with pediatric research. It has helped us bring researchers and scientists from around the world into Ann Arbor. And what we've used these funds for is really to help kids with technology. Like if a child has had a transplant, we have technology to help that child manage their medications going forward. So really trying to make the care easier for kids who have certain diseases. And Charles, and he has brought in all of his University of Michigan buddies year after year after year. And everyone's coming together tonight for Event on Main. And we will continue to celebrate and raise funds for C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. But I can't thank Charles enough for everything that he has done.
For all these years and the millions of dollars, I can only imagine. And I want to tell my listeners that we all can participate. We can all feel good participating because every $1 awarded through the Woodson Fund Pediatric Grants has returned more than $20 in additional research funding. And we want to, again, continue to thank the support, the momentum from the Woodson Fund. And now because of that, U of M is ranked 12th in pediatric research funding received from the National Institutes of Health. That's up from 23rd in 2020. And that's in no small way from your leadership, Luann Ewald, as the COO of C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. Now, if they want to donate, what should they do?
Well, there's csmottchildrenshospital.org. And so everything is right on our website to be able to give today and in the future. And we just want to thank Charles because while we are ranked so high in the National Institutes of Health. A lot of that is because of the seed money that the Charles Woodson Clinical Research Fund has given to our researchers. And then they will start a project, and then the project can become bigger and better, and they can apply to the National Institutes of Health. So Charles has a direct connection to our rankings, and we are just so thrilled. But everything is on our website, and we're just so thrilled to have the Radiothon take over today and then have the culmination of the event tonight.
And here's another easy way to get to where you have to get to make your donation at our sister station, WJR sister station in Ann Arbor. You merely visit WTKA.com. WTKA.com. You can donate right now and learn more at WTKA.com. That's easy enough. Luann, thanks for giving us an update. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Luann Ewald of C.S. Mott Children's Hospital and our own Teresa Vaccari, who is in charge of business operations in Ann Arbor and around here, and we are always a part of it. We are in more things than you might imagine, and we appreciate that you join us in these, especially in a situation like this, in these fundraisers for a children's hospital, C.S. Mott, one of the best in the country. All right, a couple of quick things here. Gas prices have fallen below $4. I think that's the first time they would say in 5 months. It will continue to go down. The president said it would, and it has. On the other hand, that other war, the Ukrainian-Russian war, it's worse than ever. Moscow hit by the largest Ukrainian attack since the start of Russia's full-scale war. That's been a real head-scratcher. I think most of us thought that Russia could just march through and take Ukraine without any trouble. I mean, didn't you kind of think that in the beginning?
I think that's what Russia thought going in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I remember seeing Zelensky on TV at the beginning. I'm thinking he was a dead man walking, but they, you know, they've really held their own, and now they're able to attack the capital city of Russia.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
and it is amazing he's still alive. Frankly, as you mentioned it,
right.
So the Knicks championship parade. I don't see anything now on my screen, but I assume it's still underway, and there were a million people plus that were.
Yeah,
participating.
And I guess it was full. It was the capacity about 2.5 hours before it started, and it seems like it's going along pretty peacefully. The only thing I saw is somebody tried to order Chick-fil-A in the middle of the group. So there's this picture going around online of this massive people and somebody like holding a giant like Chick-fil-A hot box. So I don't know if that person ever got their food, but
well, this is funny because the next story I was going to bring up to you is that that Chick-fil-A's 11-year run atop fast food rankings has been they've been knocked off number one.
Yeah, it was a customer satisfaction survey. I don't think it's like the best selling fast food place, but yeah, customer satisfaction survey. I think it was Jersey Mike's that knocked it off the top spot there.
And they do a nice job, Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, I love a Jersey Mike's.
I think there's a lot of flavor in most of the Jersey Mike's sandwiches where there wasn't that much flavor in a Chick-fil-A for me. But I'll admit, I was not an aficionado of the sauces. And apparently the sauces are a very important part of the Chick-fil-A success.
Yeah, the Chick-fil-A sauce itself is one of my favorite sauces. So next time you go, try that. It's smoke. The only thing I don't like about Chick-fil-A is like the moment you try to get up and get yourself like some napkins or like more sauce, somebody pops up out of nowhere and like, no, let me get that for you. And I'm like, no.
And you don't like that? That's called service.
No, because I want to.
You're not familiar with service, I guess, in the fast food restaurant.
Well, because I want to get a handful of that sauce, put it in my pocket, and then take it home.
Oh,
I don't want to get busted.
They get in the way of your theft.
Right.
Now I understand.
It's not theft. I'm a paying customer.
No, it's there to be used.
Yeah.
Who's to say you might have used 10 packets on your sandwich?
I would have, for sure.
And we talked earlier about the Scottish fans drinking Boston dry as the local bars run out of beer. That seems almost impossible.
You know what? Respect to the Scottish fans. You know how like when a bunch of people get together and they go on a little trip and say, Boston's not ready for us. Well, they actually weren't ready for the Scottish soccer fans.
Wow. That's a lot of drinking. again, I'm loving how much all of these people coming into America, many for the first time because of the World Cup, are loving America. And even almost sadly being completely surprised at how great America is after only hearing about us in the national media, which oftentimes finds it better to put us down than to sing our praises.
You know what that reminds me of, Paul? It reminds me of like when people come to Detroit and they're like, oh my gosh, Detroit's great. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was dystopian and crime and all that. And they end up having a great time.
Yep, that is true. Now, we earned some of that bad reputation years ago, but we have overcome that in a very big way. America has not earned much of the bad reputation that is hung on us. But we didn't need to go down that path. But isn't it interesting that we have people coming to visit who are first surprised happily and love America? And, boy, it'd be great if we could get some of our socialist Democrat politicians to understand how much there is to love here. We maybe have to send them to other countries first and find out just how much better they have it here. Here's your chance to win a trip to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire in the city of your choice. We've got your flights, hotel, concert tickets, and premium VIP lounge access covered. It's your chance to sing along all night long with Lionel Richie, Earth, Wind & Fire. Prize provided by Live Nation. Text this hour's national keyword, sunshine, to 95819. That's sunshine, S-U-N-S-H-I-N-E, sunshine, to 95819. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Play four times each weekday for four chances to win. Official rules and more information can be found at WJR.com. We continue at 1:15. He is the Wizard of Oz, as I have proclaimed him. The Wizard of Oz and Ooze. And that's because he does so many great things for us through the parade company as president and CEO. The next great thing coming up is this Monday, the 68th annual Ford Fireworks, and you're going to hear them all right here on WJR and watch them, too, on WDIV Local 4, the man, the myth, the legend, Tony Michaels.
Oh, geez, Paul. Well, I have to tell you, you've said the Wizard of Oz so many times, it's A-H-H-H-H-F.
Correct. That's exactly how I wrote it in my column for this Monday, the Wizard of Oz and Ooze.
She decided to paint the garden little walkway yellow, just so you know. Okay, at home.
Well, the Ford Fireworks is going to be another stunning show. It is always better every year over the Detroit River. I think the fireworks go at 10 p.m. or 10:07 or 10:03:04 or whatever. I mean, they always have an odd number.
10:08 this year. 10:08.
What is it?
10:08. 10:08. Yes. Okay. Yes. A lot's happening before with the helicopters coming down the river and all that great pageantry.
And we couldn't do it without the great Ford Motor Company, and which is why it's called the Ford Fireworks and recognized as one of the largest and most magnificent shows in America. And I cannot believe in its 68th year.
Yeah, it really is. And Paul, I say this every year, but we mean it every year. It's our job to make everything bigger and better than ever before. And this one is going to be colossal. It really is. It is a monster show in our great, great city.
Free and open to the public with views from Hart Plaza, Belle Isle, and beyond. Detroit, go for launch. And the famous Zambelli Fireworks Company, that family has been providing more than 10,000 pyrotechnic effects for us for years, and I think it's pretty safe to say nobody does it better.
No, it really is fabulous. Now, I will say Washington, D.C. this year with the 250th, they're planning a bigger show than us, but we've always been the biggest, and next year we'll be right back at it.
You can't blame them in Washington, and the president has allocated a lot of extra money. Of course, it's our money. But anyway,
yeah.
So let them have the biggest and the best and make it be great. But we're still going to be there at the Ford Fireworks Rooftop Fundraiser, which helps you guys do all the great work you do day in and day out for us and for Detroit. an amazing event from the parade. Generally, with all the benefits, proceeds benefiting the Michigan Thanksgiving Parade Foundation, but you're generally already sold out by now.
Yeah, I think we have a table, Paul. I mean, there's 225 tables. It's of tables. I think we have one sitting there, and it's okay. I mean, if somebody wants it, call right away and grab it.
Or the parade.org. You could go to the parade.org.
Absolutely, and it is a sellout, and we cannot thank Ford Motor Company, Mary Culler, president of Ford Philanthropy, the Ford family. Everything that they do, Paul, is incredible, and yes, their name is on this, and that means we've got to do it even better, right? Because Ford does everything right in this city and in our state.
Yeah, God bless Mary, and God bless all the members of the Ford family that keep giving back all the time.
Right.
And we are going to be there broadcasting, I think, starting at 7 and going until, well, we are carrying, in the past we carried the music, and then for whatever reason we stopped carrying the music. Now we're going back to carrying the music.
Yeah, so, and I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
I called Ann Thomas and I said, hey, what if we get the word out to everybody watching the fireworks, wherever they're at, to take their radios, their boom boxes, and go to WJR and watch that show choreographed to that music. And she said, oh, my God, let's go back to running the music.
Good.
So there we are, and it's great. It really is. And you're going to be up there for the pre-show. We're so fortunate, Paul, to have you up there. We really are.
I've been up there for years, and I wouldn't miss it. If there's any way that I can always be there, I'm always going to be there. And I'm already looking forward to the 70th, since we're at 68 already. So I'm sure for the 70th, you'll have an even, I mean, you have a bigger show every year, but you'll have an even bigger, bigger show as we celebrate the 70th in 2 years.
We will. And I can tell you and everybody out there, this show, you're never going to truly know when it's over until it's over. I can tell you that. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
You don't want to leave early.
No, you do not.
There's no reason to leave early. More information at theparade.org. Thank you to the mayor and the city and the police and the deputies and everybody that pitches in to work hard to make sure we are all safe. They have the curfew that they always have had a curfew in place. They've got it in place again, and it just makes good sense. And the Ford fireworks can be viewed on WDIV Local 4's live broadcast from the event. And as Tony says, take your radio along, or if you're in the car driving, 760 WJR, yours truly, providing special radio coverage. So it's all good. It's all going to be a lot of fun. And you did put in for the good weather, right?
We did. There's going to be a little rain in the morning, clearing up completely. Nice little chill in the air. It is perfection. It really is. And if I could say something, Paul, which you just mentioned, police Chief Todd Bettison and his team with DPD are unmatched in our country, and how proud this city should be to have that team representing us and keeping people safe. It's a big deal. And thanks to Mayor Mary Sheffield and the whole team.
Well, I'm glad you said it again, because it's worth repeating. We are very, very, very fortunate in Detroit and our surrounding area to have Chief Bettison and to have Mayor Sheffield and all the other police departments and deputies and et cetera, and all the other mayors in all the other communities who understand and work hard together to make the Ford fireworks, this one, our 68th annual Ford fireworks coming up this Monday night, to be the best ever. And we are always voted that in the USA Today and in the hearts and minds of anybody who's there to see it.
Absolutely, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
Enjoy, everyone. Enjoy.
I'll see you Monday.
Thank you.
Tony Michaels, Parade Company President and CEO. 68th annual Ford Fireworks this Monday night. They are spectacular. And just another presentation of the Parade Company led by this man, Tony Michaels. He is the wizard of ahs and oohs, but he does so much more. And as soon as the fireworks are over, he's working on America's Thanksgiving Parade. There's just so much going on all the time. And we couldn't do it without all of our sponsors and all of us supporting them. So as Gardner White has been so fabulous in supporting the parade, we need to support it as well by showing up and doing all the things that we all do, too. We're all in this together, including this coming Monday night. Stay with us in Focus on WJR. Well, let's talk a little bit about our futures and investments, and that we are inundated through social media and television with, you know, all these answers that you got to go in there not trusting, basically, at least far as I can tell. David Sowerby, we depend on personally and professionally, managing director, portfolio manager at Ancora Bloomfield Hills. David, always a pleasure. Nice to have you on board.
My pleasure as well. Thank you, Paul.
You're always on television, Bloomberg News and all those other places before I get up in the morning, so I don't get to see you. How's that been going?
I'll be on Bloomberg tomorrow on radio and TV. Hit time about 11 a.m.
Oh, that one I could see. Okay, excellent. I'll be getting ready for the show then. I'll flip around and look for it. Hey, you know, this Federal Reserve Chairman Kevin Warsh has earned his stripes. I thought he was going to be just pushed into lowering the interest rates by President Trump. I mean, I thought that's the whole reason President Trump put him in place, and yet he stood strong and didn't do that.
I watched his press conference yesterday intently. You're absolutely right. His main message was the Federal Reserve Board's commitment to price stability, or in better words, getting back to 2% inflation. The market may not have liked it in the very near term yesterday, but I frankly thought he was spot on for his mission for the Federal Reserve, inflation, and the good things that come from it.
No rate changes, but the hawks are circling, as they say.
And they're circling primarily because the economy is doing better than anticipated. Here's one statistic. Corporate profits this year are expected to be up better than 20%. If you and I were having this conversation at the start of the escalation in Iran, corporate profits were expected to grow about 13, 14%. So even in the face of uncertainty, high oil, corporate profit estimates keep going higher and higher. That's really one key barometer for the health of the economy and the health of the stock market.
I want to ask about, and I hate to put you in a specific position to comment on some of these things, and you don't have to, I'll understand completely, but I'm seeing these ads ad nauseum for something, I think it's called Y-Refi, and they show how you can take your money either monthly or let it keep reinvesting, and they show like 5 years, an over 10% return. That's almost unheard of. Then I looked into it a little bit, and those are private placement promissory notes. They don't say this, but you could lose all your money.
Buyer beware, right? Yeah, suppose it goes to the famous Milton Friedman quote, there is no such thing as a free lunch, or if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't.
Well, I guess... the things I wish that we taught in schools was that kids could put money aside, even $20 a month, and put it in some kind of an index fund or have somebody manage it, however they have to do it. And they think that that's not valuable. But if they started as kids, when they're mowing the lawns or doing whatever kids do these days to make extra money, like I used to, they will be astounded with the power of compounding interest and the growth of the stock market, how much money they'll have when they really need it in their 50s and 60s.
Paul, that's the eighth wonder of the world, the miracle of compounding interest. Back in my day when I had my free press paper route in middle school, I should have even been more diligent at adhering to compounding returns in the U.S. stock market.
Now, were you educated about these sorts of things by your parents, or did you teach yourself these things?
More the latter. As you grew older, I remember at Wayne State, you went to the library and there was one copy of the Wall Street Journal and you fought for it. Those days are long gone because the abundance of financial information online on everywhere is significant. What it then does to the average investor is navigate the noise. What really matters, and what's simply near-term noise that shouldn't be focused on? Navigate the noise, Paul, in the markets.
David Sowerby, the wise man, we depend on him, managing director, portfolio manager at Ancora Bloomfield. Thank you, David. Happy Father's Day coming up this weekend.
Oh, likewise. It's one of the greatest gifts is to be a father to my children. Thank you.
Absolutely. God bless you. We continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith and you at 144. All righty, boy, those 2 hours go by quickly. Today is International Sushi Day. Do you like sushi?
You know what? I'm coming around to sushi, yes. I was adverse to it for a long time.
I love it. I just don't have it very often. And then you got to be careful now that you keep reading about parasites and all the rest of it. But I guess if you eat pumpkin seeds, it kills the parasites. I don't know.
Pumpkin seed sushi. There's an idea.
International Panic Day. I've already gone through that.
That's every day for me.
Yeah. National Cherry Tart Day. I love cherries, so I would love a cherry tart, but there's no chance of me getting a cherry tart. I don't follow this, but I know some people do. Maybe you do, but I doubt it, Mike. Maybe Danielle does, but I don't know. Harry and Meghan are set to visit the UK with their family for the first time in 4 years, according to British media.
Stop the presses. No, I do not follow.
I don't follow that either. But it sadly makes me wonder if it's because King Charles' illness is causing some trouble.
Maybe
I don't
saying
know.
Good. Yeah, good point.
I hope that's not it. Leave it to the Beavers. And that's not the Detroit Athletic Club swimming guys, the Beavers.
Is that their name?
A great group. Yeah, they're called the Beavers. And you go and you speak there. Tom Izzo has spoken there. I have spoken there. And what they usually do, but I think Izzo avoided this, and I did too, because I said, I got to go somewhere else. They throw the speaker in the pool after they speak, suit and all.
Well, hopefully you're not wearing like a lavalier. That sounds like an electrocution hazard.
It does. Well, anyway, there's a city that had a flooding problem, so it turned to the world's second largest rodent for help, which, as we've just learned, is the beaver. And they are depending on the beaver to help the city not get flooded.
How do they know the beavers are going to do what they need them to do?
I don't know that.
Do they follow directions?
I don't know what they do other than build dams, doggone it. As far as I know, that's probably what they needed the beavers to do. So, anyway, I left it on my desk to look at it. I still can't believe that there are many people who don't believe America will still be around in another 250 years. What is that about? Why so much?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it would look vastly different in 250 years, but I don't know what they think is going to happen in the next 250 years. Are we going to be conquered by China? Is that what they're afraid of?
I don't know what they're thinking. It's unfortunate. And by the way, who's going to be around to open that time capsule they're putting together that isn't supposed to be open for 250 years?
Yeah, and there's got to be some kind of protocol or trust.
How do you celebrate Independence Day? Do you do fireworks at home, or do you watch it on television, or do you go to fireworks in your community? What do you do?
You know, I used to set fireworks off, but I'm kind of over that. Yeah,
me
you know,
too.
I'll try to find a parking lot where I can, bootleg some city's 4th of July fireworks. My father-in-law grills out. Wyandotte has a nice 4th of July, a quaint 4th of July parade. So we go pretty hard on 4th of July, actually.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
At the in-laws' barbecue in Wyandotte, that sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like great fun. All right. Well, let's see. It's Thursday. So we've got Friday. Then we've got the weekend, Father's Day, Monday, the fireworks, WJR. Yours truly will be. You're going to be there, aren't you?
Yeah, be with you in the fireworks there on
7
the rooftop.
O'clock. We start the broadcast at 7.
Yep, and then we're going right up to the fireworks because we're
going to play the music.
Right. So if you're there, you can turn on 760 and you can get the full experience.
Or if you're in the car or wherever you might be, but taking along your radio is always a good idea. Do people have transistor radios anymore? I hope they do somewhere around the house. Make sure you have batteries. You need that for stormage.
You know what? They can listen on the WJR app.
There you are. There's always a way. And there's always a way to stay on top of everything, and that is by staying tuned. You can stream us. You can podcast us. Come back later at WJR.com or the free WJR app. And stay tuned now for JR Afternoon with the one and the only Ryan Ermani.
Checks in the mail, Paul. I appreciate that intro very much, sir. How you doing today?
You have earned that intro. You do not have to bribe me, but all money is appreciated.
Without question.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you. All money is appreciated. If I can go in somebody's will, if I can be on their board of directors.
Can I be somebody's long-lost nephew or something like
that? I keep waiting for that to happen. Right. I go to my mailbox every day with the anticipation that it's going to be in there today. My long-lost cousin, I have billions of dollars and I have no one to leave it to but you.
Right, exactly. They had no kids and
just
here you
give
are.
Me $10,000 so I can get the money out of the bank.
Right. Hey, speaking of money, I heard you talking in your last segment about compounding interest. I mean, if we just instilled that in our kids' heads at such a young age,
school.
My goodness, it is a pathway to freedom. That's it. Because financial freedom is freedom.
But you know what? You still find people who come up with excuses. The biggest excuse I've heard from somebody was, well, yeah, so what if you have $1 million? A loaf of bread will cost $250,000 in 60 years.
You can't help a guy like people. That. You can't help a guy like that.
No, you really can't. I'm glad we're not like that.
Amen, man. I can't. Hey, are you following this? We're almost running out of show. Are you following all these polls about loving the country and stuff like that?
Oh, no, but I'm loving the country, and I write about it in Monday's column in the Detroit News. I say the greatest and most unexpected results of America hosting the World Cup is finding the endless number of people from around the world who love us.
Got to
go. Regards, Paul W. Smith.